Kyle here. I'm the pastor of Island Pond. I want to thank you for checking out our videos. Whether you're listening by podcasts, watching online, or watching on television, my prayer is that God will use this message to bless you, encourage you, and challenge you today. If you want more information about our church, or if you want to watch other messages, you can go to www.islandpondbc.com. If you live in the Hampstead, New Hampshire area, come on out. Right now, our services are at 10:30 a.m. on Sunday morning in Hampstead, New Hampshire. All right, let's go ahead and dive in to the message today. All right, good morning, everyone. Go ahead and open up to James chapter 1. We're going to be continuing our series through James. So this week, I read that on January 21st, the National Weather Service released a very odd warning down for the people in Florida, these poor folks. The temperature was going down to the 30s and 40s. That's like a spring day for us, right? But because of that, the temperature change and drop, they were warning people not because of the 30s and 40s, but because they needed to watch out for falling iguanas. Falling iguanas. Apparently, iguanas are cold-blooded, so they rely on an external source to keep them warm. And when it drops down below a certain temperature, they begin to lose certain functions. Sort of, in a sense, they're stunned or paralyzed for a little bit. And that causes them, if they're up in the tree and that happens, they fall down. How many of you would like to be under a tree when that happens? Hey. Well, the article concluded that most iguanas will recover. And I was thinking that if one of those iguanas fell on me, I can assure you that that iguana would not recover. Now, paralyzed iguanas, what is this world coming to? But what if I told you the same thing can happen to Christians? The same thing can happen to Christians. In our passage, we're going to see that James is going to be not using the word paralyzed Christians, but he's going to be talking about ineffective Christians. And he's in broad terms, he's going to describe one of the dangers that can lead Christians to become very ineffective. And one that essentially makes them, what I'd say, as like a paralyzed iguana, it would be a paralyzed Christian as well. If Christians were in trees, they would fall out. Now, all of you are here in church this morning, or if you're listening on Facebook, or later on, if you're listening to the audio, I don't know where each of you are at spiritually. But I am assuming that if you're listening or if you're here watching, you have some sort of spiritual interest. Something is going on where you want to know more about God, or you want to grow more in God, or maybe you're just curious, what in the world is all this Jesus talk about? And I can assure you, though, that if you are here, that you don't want to end up as like a paralyzed, ineffective person, do you? No, none of us want to end up like that. And this morning, James is going to give us one of the secrets to not becoming like those paralyzed iguanas, to not become an ineffective Christian. James is going to be talking about one of the key ingredients to becoming a thriving Christian. So if you have your teaching sheets, it's in the bulletin. You can follow along with some of the main points of the message. And here's what I think is the main idea of our passage this morning, that one key to thriving is as a Christian is obedience. Obedience. Now that sounds good. It's like, oh, yeah, common sense, but that's sort of like saying, you know, one of the keys to winning in the Olympics is hard work. All right, that sounds good, but how exactly do you do it? How do you get from here to here? And thankfully, James is going to give us more details than just simply saying, obey God, obey the word. No, he's going to tell us some of the things that we need to watch out for, and some of the things that we need to focus on as we try to get better at obeying. And so he's going to bring up some of what I'd call like the common roadblocks to obedience. So I'm going to go ahead and read our passage. I'll read the whole thing, and then we'll circle back around and work our way through it. So James chapter 1, starting in verse 19. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer but who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. Now, James begins in verse 19 by saying that we all need to be quick to listen, we need to be slow to speak, we need to be slow to get angry. I would say, just in broad terms, that's good advice for all of us in every area of life. You know, wives, how many of you would love if your husbands were a little bit better at listening and a little bit more slower at speaking back or at getting angry? I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I'm sure some of you are like, amen, amen. Husbands, how many of you would love if your wives did that? In the job, how many times would we not get ourselves in trouble if we were quicker to listen but slower to speak? I like the Jewish words of wisdom here that I came across. This is the reason why we have two ears and only one mouth, that we may hear more and speak less. The ears are always open, ever ready to receive instruction, but the tongue is surrounded with a double row of teeth to hedge it in, to keep it within proper bounds. I think those are very wise words, whoever came up with them. Kent Hughes said, I've never had to take back something I didn't say. The tragedy is, even though you take your words back, they never really completely return. Solomon was right that when words are many, transgression is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent. I want to ask you, are you known as a talker or as a listener? Or maybe let me ask this another way. When all of us, or many of us, are on social media, is social media designed for talking or is it designed for listening? Now, how many times do we just feel like we just have to do a whole lot of talking and talking and talking? We always get ourselves in trouble because we don't do much listening. Now, I could go on and on talking about the importance of this, but having just said everything that I just said, I don't think that James is simply giving generic advice about the importance of listening and not speaking. He has a very specific thing in mind when he's saying this. And so let me read verses 19 through 21 again so you get the flow of this. And we'll see what exactly is James getting at here. So he says, know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive the meekness with meekness, the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. So thinking about this from the perspective of James, who's writing to these people who are spread throughout, the area there, he's saying that they need to be, these people who are listening to him need to be quick to listen. They need to be slow to speak. They need to be slow to get angry, because if you just get angry at things, that's not going to produce in you the righteousness of God. Now, what does he mean there, though? The righteousness, how does listening and not getting angry produce the righteousness of God? Well, verse 21, as you continue, gives us a clue. Because we are to receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. So James must have been in the situation where he was teaching people, and as he was teaching, people were not liking what he was saying. And so he would say, you know, this is what God says. And they'd be like, I don't like what God says. And so they stomp their feet, and they're slow to listen, and they're quick to speak, and they're quick to get angry. And then does that produce the righteousness of God? If you're just ignoring the teaching of God, no, it messes you up. It messes you up spiritually. So James is saying that if you want to grow spiritually, if you want to thrive, that if you want to get good at obedience, then first of all, we must humbly receive Scripture in our lives. We must receive it humbly in our lives. So James is saying it. No, don't get all defensive. Don't just sit there all judgmental. Listen to what I'm saying. Listen to what Scripture is saying. Listen humbly. And receive it into your life, because that is what's going to produce the righteousness of God in your life. Being quick to speak and quick to get angry does not allow you to receive Scripture. I was thinking, in essence, what James is saying is like, be more like a sponge and less like a brick. You know, a brick is hard, it's pointy, and it does not absorb well. I've had this brick here in the morning, in the water all morning, and it's not done much. On the other hand, the sponge is designed to receive that water. It's soft, it's porous, and when you put it in there, it just sort of sops up all the water that it can. And then, there you go, it's much better than the brick. And so James is essentially saying, he's saying, be more like a sponge and less like a brick. Bricks. How many of you want to be like sharp, where you get angry all the time? Or hard, where you don't listen? Or do you want to be soft and porous? Because this is what's going to receive the word of God in your life. And that's what James is saying, that be more like a sponge. Be more like the sponge and less like the brick. I've said this before, and I'm sure I'll say it again in the future, but we live in a day and age where we have no excuse for not knowing and not hearing the word of God. We've all been forced to go to school when we were younger, and we've all been taught to read, at least at a certain level. And we have technology now where we don't have to go even anywhere to get the Scripture. We can get it on our phones or on the internet for free, or the Bibles are everywhere in America. Technology has made it so that we can get 50 different versions in just a click of a button. This past Wednesday at our men's discipleship group, one of the guys had brought a King James Bible to the group, and I showed him on his phone how he could look at different versions. And so he came back the next week, and he said something along the lines of, the Bible makes so much more sense when it's not saying these and thous. And that's because he was able just to go and look at all these different versions of translation, more modern translations. That's the day and age, the age that we live in, where the Bible is available. And if you don't read well, it's available for free to listen to. If you don't listen well, there are literally books of the Bible acted out on YouTube and other places for free. For free. All of this. Yeah, how many times do we not simply take 5, 10, or even 15 minutes each day to read the word and to listen to what God has to say to us. And if that's you, I say this very nicely, but I would say that if you are not even spending a little bit of time in the word of God each day, you are being slow to listen. You're being slow to listen. I want to ask you, when you listen, when you do take the time, when you're here in church listening to the word of God preach, when you're at home reading scripture, are you listening humbly? Are you listening openly, or are you listening critically, ready, quick to get angry? Are you receiving it, as James says, with meekness? In other words, don't think so highly of yourself that the Bible cannot direct your life. Many times we think that we have it all together, and so that this 2,000-year-old book just can't speak into our life. Or how dare it tell us how to live in our more modern, enlightened time? And so we take the parts we like about heaven and joy and all of that, but then the parts about sin or avoiding this or doing this, and no, that's just old-fashioned stuff. But when we do that, what we're doing is that we are not listening humbly. We're listening critically, and we are listening quick to get angry. When we do that, we're more like a brick than a sponge. Now listen, to obey, we must first learn to listen with humility. We must first learn to listen with humility. You need to approach Scripture thinking, knowing that God knows better than you do. You need to know that, yeah, when I approach the Word of God, I don't know everything, but God does. So yeah, are parts of this difficult to understand? Yes, but there's plenty of clear parts. And so I should be listening, and I should be diving and letting the Scripture speak to me and not putting up this big defensive force field so it can't change my life. Are you listening humbly? When the Bible says not to lust, are you listening humbly, or are you just ignoring what Scripture says? When the Bible says to put away all filthiness and greed, are you listening humbly, or are you just ignoring what it says? When the Bible says to give generously, are you listening humbly, or are you ignoring what it says? When the Bible says to devote yourselves to prayer, are you listening humbly, or are you ignoring what it says? May each of us be people who listen humbly to the word of God. Let me read the next part of our passage, starting in verse 22. But be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away and once forgets what he was like. But the law the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. What James is talking about there is people who have dementia. I remember when I got out of seminary, I was looking for a church job, and no one really wanted to hire me at that point. So I decided to start volunteering at a nursing home and leading a weekly worship service there. So each week I would, I'd go there and lead them in singing and then preach a little message. But at first, I started spending a ton of time picking out new songs every week. Then I realized they have their favorites, and they have dementia, so they do not remember what we sang the week before. So why am I spending all this time picking out new songs? So we ended up singing every week Amazing Grace and Great is Thy Faithfulness. And every week, it was like we were singing their favorite songs, and then they didn't remember that we were repeating it every week. It was the best of both worlds. But in here in verses 23 and 25, James is addressing here Christians with dementia. He's saying, this time it's in church that people are forgetting. People are hearing the word of God, but they're just forgetting what it says. They're just forgetting what it says. And to do that is like looking at yourself in the mirror and then forgetting what you look like. Now that's crazy talk, isn't it? To look in the mirror and forget. Some of us would love to forget what we look like, amen? But to actually forget, no, you're getting a little bit forgetful if you forget what you look like. But James says in verse 25 that someone who hears the word and forgets is exactly like that. You're like a Christian with dementia. So in the first few verses here, we saw that James says that we need to be better listeners. But now, in this part, James is saying that to obey, we need to remember what Scripture says. We need to remember what Scripture says. There's a story of a missionary who was in this deep, remote jungle, and there was no electricity, so in order to shave, he would have to go out and hang his mirror on a tree, and he would have to then just shave out in the open. And at one point, this witch doctor came by, and she looked in the mirror, and she saw this hideously painted face, and she sort of was startled for a moment when she saw in the mirror the reflection. And she instantly started begging the missionary to buy the mirror for herself. And the missionary didn't want to give up his mirror, so he said no. But she kept begging and begging and begging. And finally, he relented, and he sold her the mirror. And the witch doctor took the mirror and then threw it on the ground and smashed it. And she said, "There, now it won't be making ugly faces at me anymore." Now, let me tell you how we do that as a Christian. You open up the Bible. Good job. You read it for a moment, for 5 minutes, for 10 minutes. Hey, you're having a spiritual day for 15 minutes. And then you put it down and you walk on and you forget everything it said. And you've just looked into the mirror, into the Word of God, and you've done very little to remember it. And so, in essence, what you've done is you've just taken that mirror and you've just smashed it on the ground. Have you listened? Yes, you've listened, but you haven't remembered. And you can't obey if you listen, but you don't remember. I'm going to try to illustrate this just a little bit. So I'm going to have my daughter come on up. Julia, come on up here and help me out. So, Julie, I have this cookie here. I know we went through this a couple of weeks ago, but this time I promise I will not stomp on anything. So I have this cookie here. If you want it, all you have to do is repeat the number that I give to you. I'm going to give you the church's phone number. So you ready? 603-529-5959. All right, go ahead and give it to me.
5959.
Okay, well, very close, very close. How about this? If you want the cookie bad enough, I have the number here written down. Go sit right down there, study it. I'll bring you up in a moment. So as she's working on that number, I want to tell us many of us are not learning simply because we are not putting in the effort to study it. We're not putting in the effort to study it. Reading is a good first start, but if you stop there and do nothing, then you're going to forget it. That's just how we are. But what if this? What if you read Scripture, or wait for it, you ready? And you wrote down what you learned. How much more do you think you would remember the next day if you just wrote down a little bit of it? Studies show that simply by writing down what you've heard or what you've read dramatically increases retention. Well, what if, instead of just listening or reading it, in addition to writing it, the next day you went back and reviewed what you learned? What if you took what you learned and then you taught it to your children or to your spouse? Again, these are simple studies that have shown that when you do these things, your retention of it dramatically goes up. Yet somehow we think that when we're in school, we have to do these things that in order to learn. But then when we open up scripture, it's okay to just sort of read it for a moment and then just throw it down and assume that you're learning scripture. So we need to put in some of the work in order so that we can learn it. Is it good that we're just listening? Yes. But we need to work on studying it, on learning it. And that's how we can be better at remembering what Scripture says. What if this? Are you ready for this one? I'm going to blow your minds. What if we memorized some of Scripture? Now, I know what you're thinking, Kyle. I'm just not good at memorizing. Do you know how many times I've heard that when I mentioned Scripture memorization? It's like the moment that I mention Scripture memorization, half the church gets diagnosed with a learning disability. I'm serious! But the very same people who can't remember one Scripture can tell you all about their sports team, or can drive to work, or can drive to church without remembering, or can make it through a work day without having had to have written down everything. Here's my experience. While some people are certainly better at remembering than other people, many times the problem is not memorizing at all. It's simply prioritizing. And if you truly want to learn something, within reason here, but if you truly want to learn something, then you'll learn it. You'll learn it. You'll put in the effort to study it. So speaking of that, let's see how my daughter's doing. Julia, come on back up here. Let's see if you can get this cookie. All right, so I'm going to give you a number. 603-329-5959.
Wrong. You got it wrong.
All right, go ahead and
tell me. 603-329-5959.
You got it. All right, let's give her a hand here. And enjoy your cookie. Don't go crazy. A little, just a little motivation can help you just learn and learn. It makes all the difference. I want to ask you, church, do you want to be like a person who looks at the mirror and forgets what you look like? Then keep on reading and doing nothing, because that is what James is talking about here. There's one more part that I want to address as we start to wrap up our message here this morning. And let's look at, it's in verse 22 and 25. James says that we need to be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Verse 25, but the one who looks in the perfect law, the law of liberty, perseveres, and being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed. You see, some people do not listen. Some people listen and do not remember. And some people remember, and this is the most dangerous part, remember but do not act. I remember just a couple of weeks ago, I was watching on Facebook, and there is this article or video that came up about the largest man in the world. And this man here was, I don't know, it's something like, I don't know exactly what he was, but he was like 1,000 pounds or something. And the only thing he could do was lay in bed and eat. People had to bring him his food, and people had to they had to help him move, and they had to help wipe him, And they had to help do everything. Where's my help? Allison, can you come help me for a moment? And they had to do all of that, but he could get the food in his mouth and he could eat. Now, what's my point here when in saying all of that? When James is addressing the church as someone who is listening and as someone who is remembering, but as someone who is not acting, what he is like a Christian, spiritually speaking, who is morbidly obese. Morbidly obese. This right here is the American church in many ways. We sit and we listen and we listen and we listen. We love to hear. What do we have here? Sunday school. Yummy. And so we just, David Jeremiah, Gary's preaching, or Gary's teaching us, our Bible studies for a life. And then we go home and we listen to our messages. This is pretty good, actually. I'm going to have to remember this brand. And we have our favorite pastors that we listen to. And we're like, oh, it's so yummy. And then, next thing we know, we're challenged by doing something, but we never actually act. We never actually act. And what James is saying is that essentially, you are like a person who is morbidly obese, who is eating and eating and eating and eating, but not acting. Now I want to ask you, church. Don't want to make a lot of crumbs here. Do you want to be like this? Do you want to? I'm not talking physically speaking, but spiritually speaking. Do you want to be like someone who just sits and eats and eats and eats, but never exercises? Well, then listen. Remember, but do not act. Because Scripture was written not so that we can just take it in and take it in and take it in and do nothing. Scripture was written to change our lives. I remember just this past week, I was reading a book on Sherman's March. And thank you, Alice. Yeah, we didn't plan this ahead of time, but you can just unzip it. Yeah, thank you. Sherman's March. It's about General Sherman in the Civil War. Sorry, that was the wrong thing to disconnect there. There we go. That's better. So General Sherman, at the end of the Civil War, he took his army of about 60,000 people and marched through the South and decimated the place. There was very little soldiers because they were up defending Petersburg at that time. And so he just went into Georgia and he just took over the place, burned miles and miles, houses and houses. Then he went up to the Carolinas and they took everything. They burned houses, they burned barns, they burned all the food with the goal that hopefully that these people would no longer be able to support the South. And anyways, my point is that I read the book. It was very interesting, but it was not written. Burke Davis did not write this book in order to change my life. I read it, I listened to it, I remembered some of it, but there was nothing there that I had to change in my life. But the Bible is not written to be like Sherman's March. The Bible was written so that you may read it and take it in and so that it may change your life. In other words, it's not just some sort of history. It is written so that you may come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. The Old Testament was written so that you may have a foundation for understanding what Jesus Christ did on the cross. And then the rest of the New Testament was written so that you may have an understanding of Jesus Christ and the gospel message. And then as you understand that, not that you will just sit back and do nothing. And I'm not saying learning is bad. I'm not saying Sunday school is bad. I wish more of you went to Sunday school. But if that's all you're doing, if all you're doing is learning, if all you're doing is taking in and taking in and taking in, then you're setting yourself up for trouble. For trouble. To obey, we must act upon what we've learned. That's what James is saying. To obey, we must act upon what we've learned. David Platt puts it this way. He says, the bottom line is that the word evokes action. And if there is no action from the word, then clearly there has been no acceptance of the word. This is the essence of faith. James 2 describes saving faith more in depth, but even here in chapter 1, we see this reality. Those who have accepted Jesus obey Jesus. Will we be perfect? No. But will there be some desire and some movement towards obedience? Yes. Obedience is always displayed in action. So you can know the right things. You can know them correctly. But if you don't act on it, then that's essentially disobedience. And all throughout the book of James, we're going to be talking about this point here. James is going to be saying things like faith without works is dead. And he's not saying that we earn our salvation through works. What he's saying is that saving faith is acted out. That if you have true faith, that it will move you. Faith without works is dead. So do you want to know how your faith is doing? Then look at your works. Look at your actions. I would dare say that God does not want a people who just know a lot about him. God wants a people who act upon what they know. So if all you do is hear, if all you do is listen, if all you do is remember, then what you are doing is what James says is you are deceiving yourselves. I want to close with this story here. It's a sort of a parable in a way where Chuck Colson says this. He says, let's pretend that you work for me. In fact, you are my executive assistant in a company that is rapidly growing. I'm the owner, and I'm interested in expanding overseas. And to pull this off, I make plans to travel abroad and stay there until the new branch office gets established. I make all the arrangements to take my family and in the move to Europe for 6 to 8 months, and I leave you in charge of the busy stateside organization. I tell you that I'll write you regularly, and I give you directions and instructions. I leave and you stay. Months pass. A flow of letters are mailed from Europe and received by you at the national headquarters. I spell out all my expectations, and finally, I return. And soon after my arrival, I drive down to the office, and I'm stunned. Grass and weeds have grown up high. A few windows along the street are broken. I walk into the receptionist's room, and she is doing her nails, chewing gum, and listening to her favorite disco station. I look around and notice waste baskets are overflowing. The carpet hasn't been vacuumed for weeks, and nobody seems concerned that the owner has just returned. I ask about your whereabouts, and someone in the crowded lounge area points down the hall and yells, "I think he's down there." Disturbed, I move in the direction and bump into you as you're finishing a game of chess with our sales manager. I ask you to step into my office, which has been temporarily turned into a television room for watching afternoon soap operas. "What in the world is going on?" I ask. "What do you mean?" "Well, look at this place. Didn't you get any of my letters?" "Letters? Oh, yeah, sure. We got every one of them. As a matter of fact, We have had a study every Friday night since you left. We have even divided all the personnel into small groups and discussed the things that you wrote. And some of those things were really interesting. And you'll be pleased to know that a few have actually committed to memory some of those sentences and paragraphs. One or two even memorized an entire letter or two. Great stuff in those letters. Oh, okay, you got my letters. You studied them. You meditated on them. You memorized them. But what did you do about them? He responded, "Do? We didn't do anything." How true does that ring true for us? Where we listen, we study, we memorize, but we don't act. And what James would say is that we need to be people who not just sit back and listen and bring it all in. We need to get off, get onto our feet, and we need to act. So I want to ask you this morning, what do you individually need to change? What is in your life? First of all, some of you need to be better listeners. Some of you just need to get up in the morning or before you go to bed, turn off the phone, turn off the social media, turn off the TV, and you just need to get in scripture. You need to be a better listener. Some of you have never put your faith in Jesus Christ, and you need to listen to what he says about salvation, that he is offering salvation to you. And if you will just turn to him and call out to him as Lord, that you will be saved. You need to be a better listener. But second, some of you need to be better students. You're in the word, but you're not studying it. You're not remembering it. You're like a person that's just looking at it and then forgetting. It's not going to help. But third, others need to act. Maybe there's something in your life right now that you know scripture is telling you not to do, but you're doing it anyways. And what you're doing when that happens is that you are not acting. And that will lead to spiritual consequences in your life. So what do you need to do? Don't deceive yourselves. Don't just ignore scripture. Don't bring it in and forget it. And don't bring it in, remember it, but not act on it. Because when you do, you are deceiving yourselves. Let's go ahead and pray this morning.